Today's presentation is an encore presentation. Any dates or events mentioned in the program have already occurred. Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. May. Lots of things to observe in May. When it comes to family topics, we've got a couple of topics, and we're going to talk with our friends from Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri. Did you know that May is Foster Awareness Month? We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin on our website. You can go to KFUO.org and look for more information about Concordia University, Wisconsin there. You can hear one of our guests already in the background who's excited to be in studio here today. We have a great topic, and it is my privilege and a pleasure to welcome back to Worldwide KFUO, Bev Schaefer, foster care director at Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri. Bev, welcome back.
Good morning. Yes, thank you.
So good to have you in studio today again. It's been a little over a year since we talked about foster care, and I really enjoyed that. That actually was one of my favorite programs of all time here on Faith and Family, is getting to talk with the foster moms and talk about foster care through Lutheran Family and Children's Services.
They are pretty wonderful people.
Wonderful and amazing and dedicated. So thank you so much for bringing some friends along with you today. We have Lori Spellmeyer coming back to share with us again about her life as a foster mom. Lori, thanks so much for coming back today and sharing some time with us.
Thank you. It's nice to be back, Andy.
And you brought a little friend with you today as well, and you can hear him in the background. He's having a snack now. That's a great idea. I should bring snacks in for me, too, during this program. Maybe I wouldn't be as obnoxious during my program then, huh? All right. And also joining us in studio today, we have Gina Haney. She's the annual giving and marketing coordinator for Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri. Gina, welcome to Faith and Family.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Glad to have you in studio today. I understand that you're on baby duty here and just to,
I am. I'm going to jump
needed
in
as, well.
As needed.
For our little friend needs some extra attention, but he seems pretty happy. Puffs. Yeah, those are popular in our house too as well for snacks. They seem to work quite well. Well, foster families are a wonderful gift, and Bev, you do such great work at helping connect foster parents with foster kids who need a family, whether it be for a short amount of time or a long amount of time. Let's talk about May. What do you do during May as Foster Awareness Month? Are you doing anything special this month?
Well, we really call it Foster Appreciation Month.
Appreciation,
right. And we're going to be having a big workshop on May 29th because the foster parents have to receive 10 hours of training every year. Mm-hmm. And so there'll be a couple surprises for them at the workshop. But we've done special things for them, like gardening baskets and Ted Drews and anything to let them know how much we really do appreciate all the love and care that they give to our kiddos.
And I'm sure that's a delight just to have that time with them as well, to see face to face all these families that work with you in providing care for children. Bev, how did you, I know we shared this a little bit last time we talked, how did you come to the work that you do today in connecting parents with, foster families with children who need a family, whether it be for a short time or a long amount of time?
Well, I have to admit that I started out as a first grade teacher and thought that that's what I would always be. But God had another plan for me. We adopted two children, and then after we adopted our children, we felt like we really wanted to give back. And we became foster parents for 10 years and had 56 little ones go through our home. And then I thought I was going to go back to teaching, and Lutheran called me and said, how would you like to become our foster care coordinator? And I said, well, my master's degree is in teaching, but at that particular time, I knew all the foster parents as friends. And so I interviewed for the job, and I've been there 23 years.
Something you mentioned that really caught my attention. You said you adopted, and then you wanted to give back. Isn't that interesting? Just the perspective on adoption. You adopted and wanted to give back. When some might look at adoption and say how much you're giving in adoption, but it sounds like you saw the adoptions as being gifted to you, and you wanted to do something in return.
You bet, because every Mother's Day, my children, even though my children are 33 and 37 now, every Mother's Day, I get tears in my eyes, and I say a special prayer for those mothers who allowed me to be a mother and my husband to be a father.
What a gift it is. And so being foster parents is obviously different than becoming adoptive parents. What does it mean to be a foster parent?
Would you like to hear that from Lori?
Absolutely. 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 Lori, you've been serving as a foster mom for some time now. I know we talked about this last time. How long have you been a foster parent?
We took our first baby into our home at the end of 2007. And so, this little guy is number 21 for us.
Number 21, I'm sure a magic number it is. He's so cheerful. I love his smile. It's kind of a contagious smile. So about 7 years, almost 8 years now.
Yes.
That 8 years that you've served as a foster family, and you keep doing it.
We do.
What does it mean to you to be a foster mom?
Well, it's most days it's very rewarding. It's challenging at times. Mm-hmm. But when you have a phone call from Bev that says there's a family in a difficult situation and we're able to help out in some small way for a week or a month or whatever time that is, and a child comes into your home and they bring smiles to you and your family, and it really is very rewarding.
Mm. Gina, before you came to Lutheran Family and Children's Services, did you know much at all about foster care and the foster families and what they might experience?
Yeah, that's not my background. Mine's more fundraising and marketing and development. And so I knew probably what a lot of people who are listening know about Lutheran Family. And it started, you know, they have a longstanding reputation in the community for their foster care, adoption, pregnancy services. And that's kind of what I knew of them. And I've come to learn that it's that and so much more. But especially with this particular program and getting to meet and learn about the foster care families and the work that's done to help families who are struggling kind of get back on their feet is pretty amazing to watch. And it's inspiring in my job as a fundraiser and somebody that's trying to spread the word about what we do. Pretty inspirational to see the work that's done at Lutheran Family for sure.
Lori, you mentioned that it can be challenging at times. What are some of the challenges that you face as a foster mom?
Well, I guess sometimes I think each baby that comes into the house is a mystery. And you're not sure what you're going to get. And sometimes you don't know if the cry means that they're lonesome or for things that are familiar or if they're hungry, you know, or what their needs are. Other times it's challenging in terms of having to say goodbye when you've taken a child into your home and loved them and cared for them just as if they were your own. And then having to send them off, that's challenging. It's good when they go back home or when they go to their adoptive families. That's a beautiful story to be a small part of, but it can be challenging too.
I'm sure that having, whether you care for a baby for a week or a child for a week or for, you know, 6 months, a year, to say goodbye to them, and I'm sure knowing that that they're going to their home, to their family that they're going to be with long term is rewarding in some sense, but at the same time, I can imagine there are tears that are shed when you have to say goodbye.
Many tears sometimes.
And then you think, okay, well, maybe I'll get to sleep tonight.
Yes, sometimes I do make myself look at the positive side of things, sitting down for a meal. But it's sometimes bittersweet.
Mm-hmm. Now, many of the children, the ages of the children that you have cared for, are many of them younger?
Yes, we've cared for children who were coming home from the hospital, newborns, to I think the oldest we've had is 3 years old.
Hmm. So you take on every age, every stage of development has its challenges, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. You've chosen or been chosen for those stages that require lots of running around, especially 3 years old. you probably stay pretty physically active when you have little ones.
Well, some of it was our choice, actually. The first agency we called in 2007 when we were interested in becoming foster parents, we're looking for homes for teenagers. Mm-hmm. And my husband is a high school teacher and spends his days with teenagers and sometimes part of his summer. And so we thought that we were probably better suited for babies and toddlers.
And either way, it's still sleepless nights, whether you have teenagers or, or babies and toddlers. I'm sure it leads to some sleepless nights, but also very rewarding to, yes, to see them through those stages of development, whether it's just a week. It's amazing what can happen in terms of development, mm-hmm, just in a week. You know, being a parent myself, I gone out of town for maybe just two nights and am amazed to come home and see what my son has learned just in two, yes, days. What a privilege to get to be a part of that for, you know, each child to see them grow and to be there to support them and cheer them on as they develop and learn new things.
Yes, they change quickly and it is very rewarding to see that.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it is. Bev, let's talk about the need for foster parents.
Well, there's always a great need, and we find at Lutheran, since we mainly service short-term foster care, mm-hmm, so like 0 to 30 days, and when I'm working with infants especially, I need at-home moms because daycares don't take children until they're 6 weeks old, and we don't even normally have them in care that long. Mm-hmm. So I'm really needing moms who are at-home moms. Another difficulty is that I have wonderful foster moms who were at-home moms, but now that they have an empty nest, they've gone back to work, and they still want to remain foster parents, which I'm so glad that they do. Mm-hmm. But it makes it a little harder for me because I then have to try to find a daycare to care for the children while they are working.
Sure.
And there's just not a lot of daycares that have openings. Many, many daycares are at capacity, mm-hmm, or they really don't want our children for just, you know, a couple weeks or something. So we need loving, wonderful homes that, you know, are ready to take on the challenges of these little ones, because some of them come to us after they've been in shelters for some time or they've been homeless for some time. And so, just like you said, these kids change so much. We notice that when they come into foster care, it's amazing how they just bloom from having so much attention and good nutrition and someone to give them one-on-one attention when their mothers are struggling so much every day, dealing with, you know, just trying to find different agencies to help them find a home or a job or whatever. So, yes, if there's any foster parents out there who'd love to take care of these little ones, we'd love to have them.
There are certainly more opportunities. At times, you know, what are the numbers when it comes down to it? You know, some of the peaked times when you've had the largest number of families that you the largest number of families that you've had to serve or assist. How many children have you at one time had placed in foster care?
Well, we try to only place one child in a home or a sibling group in a home, so we never double up with, mm-hmm, different families. It's really hard to say the worst time of the year, like when we get the most calls. But, you know, once school lets out, it's a bigger challenge for the parents, mm-hmm, because the kids are no longer getting free breakfast or free lunch at school. And also those kids are home and they don't have the money to send them to expensive camps and that kind of thing. So we get calls from moms who are just so stressed with what they're dealing with. And so we get a lot of calls in the summer, but we also get a lot of calls in the winter when they have been evicted from their home and they're out in the cold or sleeping in their car or whatever. So, and I have to be honest, we can't help as many people as we'd like to because I don't have enough foster homes that are at-home moms. So we get many calls that we have to then try to find one of our collaborative agencies that we work with to help us out. And so sometimes I do end up borrowing foster homes from other foster agencies, just as well as they borrow ours. But there is a real need out there. There's many, many families who are in crisis for so many different reasons, but mostly for homelessness.
Is there anything that's unique about Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri, how you approach foster care?
Well, one thing that people sometimes confuse is state foster care and mm-hmm. voluntary foster care. We do not have legal custody of these children. We have physical custody of them, and the parents, the mothers, the fathers have signed them into our care, asking for our care. So that's what's different from the state. The state is long-term care where the children have been removed involuntarily from the parents, and there's many, many more folks involved with that as far as courts and lawyers and therapists and just lots and lots of people. So our care truly is that gap between where they might go to the crisis nursery, who mm-hmm. only allows 3 days of care, and the crisis nursery may call us and say, hey, this mom needs a lot more than 3 days. Can Lutheran help? And believe me, we pick up many children from the crisis nursery and then take them in care for a month.
And I know from our conversation last time that sometimes those calls come at 2 a.m. or midnight, or sometimes from a foster family, you may get those calls in the middle of the night as well that your help is needed.
Well, yeah, we have a little one in care right now. It's a medical special needs baby, and she has spent most of her life at Cardinal Glennon, and with this, even though she's with the foster family now, she has had many, many, many appointments at Cardinal Glennon and with very many specialists. And when my phone rings at midnight or whatever, I'm thinking, uh-oh, the foster mom's on the way to the hospital. Mm-hmm. But luckily, because of monitors and oxygen and everything else that's available now, technology-wise, she's able to stay in the foster home and be on a monitor. But yes, it's there. You can get calls in the middle of the night. But now we do have phones that we carry with us all the time. That when we're on call, that mm-hmm. People can get a hold of us no matter what day, time, whatever.
Well, and that brings us to another good question. What are the ways that you're supported as a foster mom? What is the support that you receive in order to do your work as a foster mom?
Well, Bev is always my first contact, and mm-hmm. When she brings a child to us, sometimes she will bring extra clothes or baby wipes or formula if the agency's received donations. And that's always helpful, at least to get us, you know, through the first few days. There's also all the other foster families. Mm-hmm. And so I work part-time, and another foster mom is going to watch the baby that we have in care right now. She'll watch him tomorrow while I'm working part-time. If during the summer somebody has a baby and someone is going on vacation, you know, those other foster moms help each other out. Mm-hmm. And it's also nice when we have our trainings that Bev mentioned earlier, just to be with a group of parents who are, you know, doing the same volunteer work that you are is a big support.
So there's this network. It sounds like this family or this connection between foster families and you understand how everything works. You understand each other and some of the scenarios that you face, some of the challenges that you face.
Yes. In March, we had a little guy in care, and it was just his second night with us. And my husband and I both woke up at 1 a.m. with the stomach flu. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, I called another foster mom and said, can you help us? And she came and she picked up the baby and kept him for a couple nights until we felt better. And that's some pretty big support there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This guy is crawling all over. You are moving, man. He's checking out the studio and all the technology here. Well, I'm sure it is important to have that support. I know as a parent, just having that support from others is key in a child's development, too, because having that support, in our case, with grandparents and other families who can help us through those tough mm-hmm. times when mom and dad are sick. That's one of those key times when you need that extra support.
Yeah. Well, And I was going to say mm-hmm. that from being a foster parent myself, I can surely empathize with my foster parents when the child is leaving them, because I remember the hurt when they left me. Mm-hmm. And so I always tell them, you know, if you need somebody to cry with or somebody to yell at, call me.
To have that support, to know that you can call Bev anytime, yes, is certainly, I'm sure, valuable and important. We need to take a quick break here in just a minute. When we come back from that break, Bev, I'd like to talk about the process of how one becomes a foster parent. You mentioned training earlier. You both have mentioned training and those types of things. How does one become a foster parent? And we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
Today's presentation is an encore presentation. Any dates or events mentioned in the program have already occurred.
You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. We are talking about foster care. We're talking Foster Appreciation Month. That is what May is. And we have several guests in studio today with us. We have Bev Schaefer. She's the foster care director at Lutheran Family and Children's Services. And Lori Spellmeyer. She's a foster mom and a returning guest here on Faith and Family. And a little guy already hitting the mics here in studio. And Gina Haney, annual giving and marketing coordinator at Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri. Bev, before we went to break, we were just sharing stories about the joys and challenges of being a foster family, foster parents. What is the process to becoming a foster parent with Lutheran Family and Children's Services? What are the things to start thinking about before you even take that first step?
Well, if you have a love for children, that would be number one. And, you know, our website has lots and lots of information, but your first step would be to make an application. Mm-hmm. And then when the application comes in, I would call you right away and set up a home visit just to come and just to talk to you and let you know what our program's all about. And some folks, you know, consider becoming foster parents so that they can adopt, but our foster parents are foster parents. We have a separate program for adoption. But after you apply, of course, we are regulated by the state. So when you get licensed to be a foster parent, the state has set up all the regulations of what I need to do to get them licensed. So they do have to have physicals from a doctor telling me and that they are physically able to care for a baby and lift a baby and be up at night with the baby. They do have to have references from their employer, from their pastor, from neighbors or friends, who will then let me know what wonderful people they are. We do have to do criminal record checks and fingerprinting, and we do have to check with the child abuse hotline to make sure they haven't had any hotline calls against them. Mm-hmm. And of course, we have a little handbook that we go over with them that pretty much tells them all the things that are going to happen. We talk about confidentiality. We talk about different things like safe sleep, putting the babies to sleep on their back. We, like I said, we have workshops twice a year. They have to be CPR trained. We do training in first aid. So once they are licensed, they are licensed for 2 years, and then every 2 years we have to renew their license, and during that time they are continuing to receive 20 hours of training which we hope is appropriate to the kind of fostering they're doing, whether it's on attachment or whether it's on drug-exposed infants. We try to make it all relevant to what they're doing.
Lori, before we were talking about some of the challenges of being a foster parent, what are some of the things that are they're most rewarding about being a foster parent?
Well, I think there's lots of things, but when we have newborns in the house, seeing their first smile, one of the probably the most rewarding moments for me is when we've had babies in the house who are going to be adopted, and we give them to, I hand them to their mothers for the first time, and I could tear up thinking about it now.
Sure.
Because many of these parents have waited years to adopt a child and to have a child of their own, and then to be part of that is really very special. And to recognize that, and Lutheran does a good job of recognizing everybody who's involved in that process, the birth mother, the birth parents, the foster family, and the adoptive parents. And so that's always very rewarding, even though your house is quiet afterwards. A little bit of your heart goes with that baby when they're adopted, but to know they're in a good home and they're going to people who love them is very rewarding.
And that you've had a part in shaping that child's life, you know, even if it was just for a short part of their development.
Yes.
You had the privilege of being a part of that stage of development for them, whether it's a couple days, a month, or a
yes.
week. and spoken like a true mom, doing the whole interview with child in tow here, and he is just grabbing for everything. His development,
he's a little monkey.
His development is just amazing. His motor skills are you know, you can tell that they're just developing as he's reaching out and grabbing for everything here in the studio, and including jewelry. Bev, so they contact you and start that process, get to meet you, learn about what it means to be a foster parent, and have that home visit, meet the state requirements, and become licensed to be a foster parent. Are there specific things we need to know about that? You mentioned like they have to have a physical, have to have CPR training, all of those things to make sure that they're capable to be foster parents. Background check, you talked about all of that. Anything else that they need to prepare for to be a foster parent?
Well, it's hard to prepare them for every situation that may come up, because honestly, everyone is different. And a lot of these children, when they come to us from the crisis center, we don't know much about them. And I will call the foster mom and I'll say, all I know is that he's 3 years old and that he's developmentally on target and that they have been living in their car for about the last 3 months. And that's all I really know about them. So when I'm taking this little guy to the foster mom, it's, you know, we're just discovering everything about him. And even though the mothers often give us a little bit of information, like he likes to sleep with a nightlight or this is his favorite little toy or something like that, I can't really prepare the foster parents for every single scenario, but we try to, like I said, we try to be available to at least take every phone call that they might have or every question they might have. But we also have wonderful pediatricians who see our children for free because one of them adopted themselves and from us. And so our pediatricians are available 24/7 to be available to answer any of the foster parents' questions, since some of these children come and we don't know that much about them.
That's a huge help. I know as a parent how much I appreciate the accessibility of our pediatricians as well. To have that as a resource certainly is I'm sure meaningful, and to have that 24 hours is just huge.
And while they're in care, we really make it one of our number one priorities that if the children come in and they're behind on their immunizations, we do everything we can to catch them up with their immunizations. And if we feel like if our doctor feels that they need to see a specialist, they might only be in our care for 30 days, but our pediatricians are so wonderful that they can pull strings and get those kids in to see a specialist while they're in our care, which is just wonderful.
That's great that that can happen, even as we were talking about, just that little short amount of time, all that can be provided for that child to help them be on track as best as possible in terms of development. And you know, taking care of all their needs. We're talking about, you know, physical development and all those things, but also the love and nurture that happens in a foster family during that time. You can't really measure that. You can't put a number on that. And we've got a little guest here crawling under the counter here. I'm going to see if I can grab him for a little bit. But let's talk about, I know we have the, what happens when a family, when a birth parent has a need. Who do they contact?
They can call. They can call our number like any time, and a worker will get in touch with them within 24 hours. And a worker will be assigned to the mother. Like, I'm really the worker for the children, for the baby and the children, but a worker will be assigned to the mother, and they will sit down and go through a service plan, like, what are the mother's needs? How can we help? What things is she going to do while the baby or children are in care? And so that worker is in constant contact with the mother by phone, and also with the mother coming into the office. And, you know, we'll do everything we can to help her get her GED, to help her find a job, to help her find housing, because we just try to use that 30 days that we have the children in care to just get as much done as we can.
So there's a lot of support for the birth mother as well.
Oh, yes.
This time that she may be away from her children, whether it's short-term or long-term, that she's getting the support that she needs so that, you know, ultimately, if for the child to be returned to her, that she has everything to be the best mom that she can be.
Right. We have, and we're lucky to have programs, our Nurturing Teens program. If we have young moms who are teens, and we have a really special curriculum that the workers will go out and work with these moms and really teach them about how to be a good mommy and what things to be aware of, that where the kids can put you to the edge where you just feel like you're going to lose your mind. And the workers then who are working with them through this whole curriculum helps them find what they can do to keep from getting to that boiling point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure that that many of them express gratitude and appreciation for the support that they receive. Do they ever have the chance to thank the foster families that help them, whether it be indirectly or directly?
Well, yeah, we get a lot of hugs. And people are thankful. Of course, some moms aren't as, you know, outwardly thankful just because they carry some guilt that they even had to use our services. They feel that in some way they aren't being the best mom they could be, or that they just can't find a job or can't do whatever. So sometimes there's that anxiety that, you know, here we're doing for their child what they wish they could be doing for their child.
You know, it's not every day in the studio that I get to hold a guest here like a parent.
Or that you get hit in the head with a rattle.
Or keys or whatever. Or that my guests crawl under the desk. It's not all that often. I can't say that that's happened before, but maybe we're starting a new trend here in the studio. Well, I think that the work that you all are doing and what you're sharing with us today about the foster care, how it supports not only the child but also the mom and the foster families, is just amazing. What else would you like for us to know about becoming a foster parent, whether it's from Bev's perspective or Lori's perspective? What about, let's talk about from Lori's perspective, from your perspective as a foster mom. What do you want others to know who might be considering becoming a foster parent? We know that it's challenging. We know that it can be rewarding as well. What do you want those who might be considering becoming a foster parent to know?
Well, I think maybe in some ways it was easier than what we had thought. All you need is some extra love to give to a little person in the house who's just there for a temporary basis, a few days or a month or so. It doesn't require a lot of extra money. The agency, like I said before, is very supportive with clothes or diapers or toys, whatever you need. That it is very rewarding. And it's, you know, after almost 8 years, He'll tell you it's rewarding. After almost 8 years, you know, we would do it again. It's in some ways maybe easier than what people think. It's not for everybody, but it's been great for us.
Well, he's obviously he's pretty happy. He's I know he's ready for nap time as well, but I would imagine as a parent, you probably look forward to nap time too. I know I do.
I sleep when he sleeps.
That best advice ever got as a parent. Best advice is that when they sleep, you sleep too. That's really important. Gina, hearing the conversation today, I know that as we talked about earlier, that you know, being aware of foster care and what Lutheran Family and Children's Services does with foster care was kind of new for you. You were much like the rest of us and, mm-hmm. and didn't realize what the services were. Hearing Lori's story and hearing, you know, Bev talk about the work that she does, what does that mean for you, the person who is driven to gather resources and support for Lutheran Family and Children's Services?
Yeah, it's, you know, those are the stories that we want to share and the work that we want to let people know that we are doing. Lutheran Family is a nonprofit social service agency that relies heavily on donations and support from individuals. So I think spreading the word about the work that we're doing is important and hopefully is inspiring to somebody that's listening out there, because we do rely mm-hmm. on donations, you know, to a large extent to be able. And what we do takes a lot of resources. It takes money and time and resources and diapers and clothes and all kinds of things. And, you know, so to me, you know, I do the work that I do professionally because of it's rewarding. Mm-hmm. But also I think that for somebody out there that's looking for a good cause to support, something to get behind and know that you're making a difference, Lutheran Family is definitely that agency for you. And hopefully the stories that you hear today might inspire you.
Especially this little guy. Well, I'm glad you mentioned, certainly people can support financially, can support Lutheran mm-hmm. Family and Children's Services. But I'm glad you mentioned some of the other things. I know this came up earlier as well. Maybe diapers and wipes and things like that.
Sure.
that can help and support families. How do we do that? We just come over to Bev's desk and drop them all right there at Bev's desk, right?
I'll take them if you bring them. It does. We're very fortunate in that there are churches who mm-hmm. will have baby showers for our agency, and then we go and they give us diapers and wipes and clothing and blankets, and we love that. The Girl Scouts have been very wonderful to us. They will often have baby showers for us. We are always in need of diapers and wipes and little clothing, all the way up to size 5. We are happy to take used clothing. We're glad that our development department is there to support us, because we don't pay our foster parents much. They get $12 a day to take care of these children. And so you know that they're doing it out of the love in their hearts, not the money that they're going to get in their pocket.
Caring for a child quite often, goes far more than $12 a day. But I'm sure that helps in terms of the increase in expenses in a home. You're right. It's certainly out of love for that child and it's just for fellow human beings to be able to support them in whatever their needs may be. And you can see that. I know even from today and from last year as well, just seeing that in the moms that I've had a chance to meet. How much they love these children, and not just the children, but also their parents, whether it's their birth parents or their adoptive parents, as Lori shared earlier. It's all out of love for them. Well, May being Adoption Appreciation Month, you mentioned that you have a celebration coming up soon and some training as well. What are other ways that we can, as individuals listening, that we can celebrate our Foster Appreciation Month?
Well, you know, one thing that people can do is if you see that a foster mom has got children in their home, you could offer to babysit for a couple hours so that foster mom can go get her hair cut, or she can go to the grocery store without two little children or whatever. So anyone who can be a support to the foster parent, it that's always so, you know, so wonderful. And like I said, the little doodads that I give the foster parents, they're not big, wonderful things, but I do try to let them know how much that they are appreciated on Mother's Day and at mm-hmm. Christmas and Thanksgiving, how grateful we are and blessed to have them as part of our mission.
Well, and I'm so thankful for the time that I get to learn about foster care and get to meet these moms and the children from time to time as well. And as I think about this and I think about some of the people in our lives who might make great foster parents, whether it be in our own household or others who might make great foster parents, I want to encourage them. And so how do they get in touch with you? How do we find out more about becoming foster parents?
Well, I can give you my direct number at work, which is 314-754-2749. And I'll be glad to talk with you for a few minutes or an hour or however, you know, I can try to answer as many questions as you like. And I'll be glad to send you our handbook so that you can really see the work that we do. But I'm glad to take those calls anytime. And, you know, we've got foster parents who are as young as 35 and as old as 75. So, you know, we've got foster parents who've been doing it for over 25 years. So, you know, don't think that you're too old to be a foster parent or that maybe you think you don't have the energy. You'll be surprised. You get one of these little ones in your home and you find that you have more energy than you thought you had.
Absolutely. Now, I remember last year when we talked with some of the foster moms, one of the moms had a record number, had served a record number of children and families by serving as foster parents. It was in the hundreds.
Oh, yeah. We have several families that have, you know, in the hundreds with children. And you know, as they get older, the only thing that I, when they call me and say, oh, we just bought a condo in Florida, I go, oh, don't tell me that. Because then I know that they're going to be wintering in Florida, and we have another foster mom who has a place now in Michigan, so she summers in Michigan, and so, you know, many of them are ready to retire, but I'm not ready to let them go yet.
I bet. So, but that means then that you need more foster families, more foster parents who can step in and fill in those gaps where that are being left by those families that are ready to wind down a little bit.
Right. And, you know, Gina knows a whole lot more about this than I do, but, you know, our funding comes from many different sources, and where right now where I'm really needing foster parents is in St. Louis County mm-hmm. because we are funded by the wonderful Children's Service Fund, and we'll be able to help a whole lot more people if I had more foster families from St. Louis County.
So St. Louis County, all parts of St. Louis County.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good to know.
Right.
I'm glad you mentioned the support. Gina, tell us about the support that for St. Louis County, for families in St. Louis County.
I mean, you know, we do all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. You know, we are a United Way funded agency. We do receive funding from the Children's Service Fund. Both of those are great sources. We write grants. We try to diversify our funding sources and as to not put too many eggs in one basket. Individual support is very important. And we do have a website. I don't think we've mentioned it today. And you can get information, mm-hmm. more information about becoming a foster parent or, you know, if you're a birth mom that's having some difficulty, you know, you can reach out and kind of read about us on our website, which is lfcsmo.org. And then, of course, on there are ways to, you can look and see the different ways that you can support us through just an outright donation online, becoming a monthly sustainer and making a gift each month in support. Baby bottle boomerang, a change drive with your group or your church, mm-hmm. Baby showers, those sorts of things. We also do special events. We have a gala in August, a big auction at the Four Seasons, which is really nice. So lots of different ways that you can kind of pick and choose depending on, you know, your interest and your time and that sort of thing. So.
And Bev, this is similar. I know that we're talking primarily about St. Louis and Missouri, today, but if someone's interested in foster care, they can talk with an agency in their own community. We have listeners all over the world, but, you know, for our United States listeners, they can talk with an agency in their own community to find out more about becoming a foster parent, what the requirements are in their own community.
Oh, sure. And, you know, they can start with the United Way, which, you know, there's 211, where if you call the 211 number for United Way, they can direct you to all the agencies that are United Way agencies. Mm-hmm. And you know, we even know other Lutheran agencies in other states, mm-hmm. that we can also give them direct numbers if they, you know, if they know they're moving somewhere, mm-hmm. we can let them connect them up with where they're going.
Very good. Remind us again your phone number in case folks want to give you a call and find out more about becoming foster parents.
It's 314-754-2749.
Another phone number I want to share today is the Missouri hotline number for abuse and neglect. When someone is in a situation where they just don't know what to do, they feel like the whole world is crashing down around them, this is a number they can call for that support when it comes to their family needs, right?
Well, mainly the child abuse hotline number is for folks who might have concern for mm-hmm. a child, maybe a teacher, a pastor, a babysitter, who may see some bruising or have some concerns. But that's the number you call when you are afraid for this child or concerned mm-hmm. for this child. And then immediately there will be a worker who will come out and, you know, just find out, is this child in danger? So that's mainly what the hotline number is for. But if a woman calls up and says, I don't know what to do, I'm beside myself, I don't mm-hmm. want to hurt this child or whatever, the hotline will then refer her to a mental health agency or our agency or whatever they feel that, mm-hmm. that she needs.
So the Missouri hotline number for abuse and neglect, 1-800-392-5732. And that's if you suspect that there is abuse or neglect happening.
Right.
If a mom finds herself in a circumstance where she thinks that she is going to need help with maybe some short-term foster care, I gather she can contact your agency as well?
Right. And she can call our main number, which is
314-787-3100. 787-5100.
Okay.
You got close. 314-787-5100.
See, I never have to call that number. I never have to call our main number.
I understand. I have the same issue with our main desk phone number here, too.
Right. Because all the workers have direct numbers. Right. Those are the ones you memorize.
Sure. Well, with just a couple minutes left as we wrap up our conversation this morning, and I know I want to give Lori another chance to talk about just what has been most, maybe if you could choose a moment from your foster mom times, your foster mom days, that moment that you went, this is why I am a foster parent, that this is what it's all about. This is why I love it. And I know you shared earlier a little bit about that day of handing a baby over to adoptive parents.
I think it's each time we have a baby in the house and I put them to sleep, mm-hmm. whether they've been there for a day or whether they've been there for a few weeks, just holding a child and putting them to sleep. There's nothing more peaceful than that.
Absolutely. We were just talking off the air earlier as we were holding this little guy, and it's his nap time, but he's so excited about being here. He doesn't want to go to sleep. There's just something about holding a child, you know, on your shoulder and trying to help them calm down and go to sleep. There's just nothing like it in the world.
Yes, just knowing you've comforted them and that they're peaceful and not missing their mom or upset at the moment. And it just does both of you some good.
Well, hopefully he'll get that nap in today for your sake as well.
As soon
well.
As he gets in the car, he'll fall asleep.
I know that all too well. As soon as we get in the car. Gina, what's that website again to find out more about Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri?
It's lfcsmo.org.
lfcsmo.org. You can find out all about the services, how you can support Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri. You can also get in touch with Bev there. You can find out more about foster care on the website and the other services available through Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri. I can't say thank you enough for the time that you all have given me today and our listeners to share your stories with us. This is the highlight of my day to get to share stories like this and the great work that you all are doing. Thank you so much for coming over and spending some time with us. Gina Haney with Lutheran Family and Children's Services. You serve as the annual giving and marketing coordinator here. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you.
And Bev Schaefer, the foster care director at Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri, thanks so much for being our guest again.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
And you get to hold a baby, too. Best part of your job, I bet.
Right.
and Lori Spellmeyer, thank you so much for being our guest today and for all the work that you're doing as a foster mom and for caring for these families.
Thank you. Thanks for having us back.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word up next.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.